Gee, agus Fáilte, go Gian Clark, come and look, last gill, a shock, then a shawl, me, Tom Comack, with you as usual until 9 o'clock. And always, as we always say, hope you can stay with us. Well, tonight we're going to rake over the coals of the weekend action, which saw Donegal exit the All-Ireland series at the quarter-final stage, going down to Mayo in that All-Ireland quarter-final, part of a double bill with Tyrone and Monaghan in Croke Park on Saturday evening. Mayo emerging 2-13 to 11-point victors on that one. And, well, Tyrone are marching on, and Mickey Hart has, well done it once again, taken his side from the back door right to the edge of the promise land. Tyrone defeating the reigning Ulster champions Monaghan 18 points to 14 in a game that unfortunately has been marred by quite a lot of controversy about the late certainly a number of sendings off and quite a lot of accusations flying about cynical play. We'll talk to our one of our guests tonight, and we'll talk to our two guests tonight on that. They are Manus Boyle of Donegal and John Lynch of Tyrone, and we'll be talking to them in a moment. Just to remind you, of course, once again, if you want to text in and make any comment on tonight's programme or to ask any questions or any topics you want to hear in the future, we'd only be too delighted to hear from us. You can text us on 086 77 00 555. And indeed, we have before we start off, maybe Manus or John might be able to answer the question. We have a question in from a listener who is anxious to know, can an outfield player replace the goalkeeper for a penalty kick? I'm not sure on the answer on that one. Maybe somebody out there has the answer to it, but certainly it's a question that has come in from one of our listeners. Meant to deal with it last week, and unfortunately we didn't run out of time, but we're getting it in early tonight. So looking back on the weekend's action, of course, a good weekend for Derry Miners as well. The Ulster champions have progressed to an All-Ireland semi-final following their victory over Longford in their All-Ireland quarter-final in Brewster Park on Saturday afternoon as well. Oakleaf men winning that game pretty well. And they will now play Kerry, the Munster champions, in an All-Ireland semi-final. And that game is the curtain raiser to Tyrone and Kerry, that eagerly awaited mouth-watering All-Ireland semi-final clash on Sunday week, in actual fact, in Croke Park. But as I said, the main focus tonight is to reflect on the weekend's action and those two All-Ireland quarter-final meetings, games in Croke Park between Donegal and Mayo and Tyrone and Monaghan. But before we go to John Lynch in Tyrone, first of all, I'm delighted to say I have a very good friend Manus Boyle on here again. Of course, himself and John were on last week as well, giving their predictions. And well, I know Manus, you were hesitantly, I think, going for Donegal last week, and it was the heart more than the head, I gathered.
Definitely more the heart than the head. Good evening, Tom. Yeah, just as I thought, Tom, last week I said that we needed to play very well, and Mayo didn't need to play that well for us to get through, because the summer has certainly taken its toll on the Ulster Championship, certainly took its toll on the Donegal lads, and it was fairly evident after 15 or 20 minutes last Saturday evening that, you know, Donegal were struggling. Definitely with a couple of injuries, players playing probably not fully fit, but all over the pitch we were second best, and probably, you know, it's probably not only this summer's football, but in the last four or five summers, you know, 12 of the lads that started on Saturday night have played in most every championship match since 2011, and a lot of the National League games without rest. And, you know, I think it just is, it all added up, and all that pressure on the body and all that training, and I think there's a fatigue there. I don't think
It wasn't all down just to the goals coming for Mayo at a crucial stage, or the 7-day turnaround.
No, I don't think so, Tom. I honestly think that Donegal had to work extremely hard for the points that they got, where Mayo could open Donegal at will, and it was evident that the goal was coming for a good while. I think Donegal were struggling to close the defence as usual. You know, Donegal have built their success in the last number of years and have a very tight defence and very solid, don't concede many goals. But we were wide open a couple of times that the ball went into Hayden O'Shea. I know he's a big lad, and he's actually an extremely good footballer. He has the physique just like Michael Murphy, maybe not as the same finesse as Big Murphy, but all the same, the opportunities were there for them.
But in fairness, Manus, you know,
deal with them, Tom. You know,
in fairness, Manus, you know, I thought Neil McGee and indeed our full back line in general were dealing pretty well with him and the other threats. The Mayo danger men were further out the field at that stage, I felt.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, Neil McGee had an exceptional game until he went off injured, because to curtail O'Shea as he did, also I thought Eamon had a good game. But I thought Frank McGlynn was his usual self. He went up the line, but the more he went up forward, the less support he was getting, because Donegal were still hesitant to release as many players up the field as we've had in the past. And I think there was always a fear within the team itself, regardless what the manager wants. Players cross the line, it's, they have to cope with it. I just felt that we were open all the time, Tom, and it's no criticism on any individual or any team. I just think we're second best, but this has been coming, and it's been coming for a while.
Yeah, and certainly the campaign and those hard games did take its effect. And I know I was speaking to Rory Gallagher today, and he did feel that obviously it's very hard to recover from a defeat in a provincial final. Tell us about that.
I think so. I mean, it takes you know, you build yourself up to play. I mean, the Ulster Championship is huge to players that play in it. You build yourself up to play in it, and then suddenly it's gone. I wasn't there when the backdoor system came, but it usually took you a month to get over losing in an Ulster final. And the only thing that you had back when I played was that the National League would come around in October and you could get back into it, your training again in September, and maybe by then that memory of the Ulster final was fading a bit, you know. Now they have to go out maybe a week or two later, get into it again after losing what is a huge game, the second most important game of the year, and, you know, it has to be disappointing. It has to be soul-destroying for them, especially after the way, I mean, beat Tyrone, beat Armagh, beat Derry, and then didn't play that well against Monaghan, you know, lose it by 6 inches, because, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be soul-destroying for them. And I know how hard they've worked, not only this year, but over the last 4 years. And, you know, maybe a lot of them felt that the Ulster Championship was their goal.
Well, of course, Manus, they came so close last year, and probably there is a feeling maybe left in All-Ireland behind them, you know, that there was that push, I'm sure, this year to come back and give it another rattle.
Ah, yeah, I mean, Tom, again, we're only a kick of the ball away last year from, you know, getting another go at it, but I think that has to leave a mark, you know, on the mind, and, you know, going into the Ulster final this year when they needed, you know, to get one of the, you know, that score, that free, that even, you know, I don't think it was there. I think that buzz is gone, and, you know, it happens every team.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
And tell me, what now? There's talk of retirements, and, you know, there's people saying there should be no harsh decisions made or whatever, but what do you feel?
Well, I think the reality is that there is going to be a few retirements, and good luck to them. They've done more than most for their county. I mean, every one of them, to a man, have given their all this last, longer than the last 4 or 5 years. Some of the lads are playing 10, 12 years, you know.
Christy Toy goes back to 2002, and Colin McFadden, I think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge commitment, and especially in the time that we're in. I mean, it's just not turning up on a Tuesday and Thursday night. I mean, these lads they have dietitians, they have their conditioning program during the winter time. Like, it's a full-time job without the rewards of it, you know. You know, and when they get bit, you know, supporters sometimes think they take it hard, but the players take it the hardest, because they've put in the hard work. Their families have given the commitment. They've given a huge commitment. They feel they let everybody down. You know, decisions on retirements, I think players make up their mind long before they ever kick a ball in the year they're going to pack it in.
Yeah, how big a decision is that, Manus, you know, for a player to go? Obviously, it's very hard to walk away from, because it's been so much of your life for so long.
Yeah, well, it is part of your life, Tom, and the fellas that you're playing with, they're your friends, they're your colleagues. Like, you know, you might play against them in a club match somewhere along the line, but, you know, when you're out in a county game, or you're out training with them, you know, maybe a dark night at Castle Finn or Balbuffet, you know, and they're your friends, you have a good laugh, you know, you go, when the moment allows, you'll go and have a few drinks with them, and everybody becomes close. Maybe not all get on like a house on fire.
Hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, they are your friends and your colleagues. They have your respect. They respect you. So, I mean, it is hard to walk away. Plus, you know, it is an unbelievable feeling to play for your county. But there is a time you have to be honest to yourself, and it's that honesty to yourself is the utmost decision, you know.
And you think there should some people pack it in, retire?
Well, it's not for me to say, Tom, you know, but I think you'll find that a few of them will walk away, and, you know, others may take longer, but I think they should be allowed to go back and play in their club championship, and as Christmas comes, then when Rory seeks for the commitment to go back to training, I think then you'll find that the players that are not going back will left be known.
And is there an argument for maybe leaving some of the players that maybe haven't made up their mind, and maybe leaving them and say, right, you know, maybe do a little bit like Leo McLoon, maybe do a little bit like Colin McFadden this year, maybe return for the latter stages of the league, forget about the Mankenna Cup, forget about the early part of the league?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I think players should be rested anyway. You know, especially players that have given you 6, 7, 8 championships in a row, they shouldn't be playing in national leagues until the latter stages anyway, because, you know, as the bodies get older, injuries become more prevalent, and it's harder to get over them. You know, the likes of Carl Lacey, even though he's only 30, has played a lot of years, and he's picked up a lot of injuries, so necessarily it wouldn't be that big a thing for Carl to play in the national league anymore, and I don't think he should have to. But I mean, if he wants to make himself available for the championship, I think that's a good call.
Hmm. Obviously, that's a decision for management as well, and certainly it's something they have to think about as well, in terms of, you know, fellas in that squad slogging it out in November and December, and see guys coming in April and May and taking their place.
Yeah, that's all part of it, Tom, and that can cause problems for the squad. For the rest of the players, and you know that's the choice of the manager. So, I think that in the next, you know, I think after the club championship, you will hear a few retirements. But I mean, it's not for anybody to say that I think X should go or Y should go. You know, they deserve better, more respect than that there, and I certainly wouldn't be the one to pull that trigger, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, just how are you on the rules? I don't know if you heard that question we asked earlier about can an outfield player replace the goalkeeper for a penalty?
Well, if the ball was played along the ground, an outfield player can't save it along the ground because it would be a penalty again, Tom, so I would look at it.
right. So I never thought of that, actually. Well, if it's... yeah. So in other words, if there is an outfield player brought into goals, you play the ball along the ground because he can't touch it.
That's correct.
Okay, you've added to the problem. Just stay with us, Manus. Thoughto Agaista Clashon Clark, coming Luke Glasgale, La Shock Nesho, Lamy, Tom Comack, with you as usual on a Wednesday night. And, well, we're looking back on the weekend's action, and of course, Donegal's defeat to Mayo in the All Ireland quarter final in Croke Park. And, also on Tyrone's victory over Monaghan in the other quarter-final, which was the curtain raiser, of course, to Donegal and Mayo in Croke Park on Sunday afternoon. Fantastic performance by Tyrone, 18 points, some very good performances all around the pitch. But John Lynch, delighted you can join us again. But unfortunately, John, the result and the performance hasn't been the main talking point this week, and very much overshadowed by other aspects of the game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, how's it going, Tom? Before we start, I think, have you unearthed a new referee in Donegal there?
What?
I've been reffing here for years, John.
But, yes, Tom, unfortunately, the talking points are just exactly, not about the performance, but about the unsavoury stuff at the end. But I suppose, Tom, that's the fact of life, that you have to deal with this stuff. You know, from a Tyrone point of view, we went down and got a result, but we have to then deal with the stuff that went on at the very end.
Yeah, well, I'm very anxious to get to talking about the game and the performances of players like Sean Kavanagh and Matty Donnelly and others. But in terms of the accusations of cynicism and cynical play, what's your reaction to it?
Tom, I've asked the question a few times of people from Tyrone, and I honestly asked them, you know, have we blinkers on? Like, am I wearing blinkers, or... Is this just happening with Tyrone people, or does this happen in other counties? Like, some of the pundits that are talking, they're actually bringing up stuff that's going on in club matches in Tyrone as well. Like they're more updated and stuff than I am. So I'm asking the question, Tom: is it happening just in Tyrone? And Tom, what did I tell you something? You know, it's not just happening in Tyrone. This stuff happens everywhere. Unfortunately, Tom, there's probably an undercurrent, Tom, in Tyrone football or with Tyrone in the fact that, you know, when we won All Ireland's back in the noughties, there was always this unsavoury stuff that people talked about as well, and the way we won them and the way we went out to win matches and you know, the defensive setups. And a lot of people, especially a lot of the pundits down south, a lot of the ex-couplers down south, you know, that made it more prominent was the boys that didn't really help. But they created this sort of thing that Tyrone are unsavoury and they do this stuff and they make it hard and they make it hard to watch. And it's, you know, all this stuff came from there, Tom. And we have to say that, you know, RTE are definitely involved in this as well because of the situation with Mickey not talking to them. You know, there's men sitting there in studios, Tom, and there's no doubt in my mind that this stuff is scripted. A lot of the stuff that these boys are doing, because every time I hear them talk, it's all very, very similar. Like.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's the national broadcaster, and I suppose obviously they have standards to set as well, and I suppose, in fairness, there's watchdogs on them as well, so there are avenues which can be taken there if people feel it. But in terms of Tiernan McCann had a fantastic game on Saturday afternoon, and I suppose is one of the revelations of this summer's campaign. He's come in for a lot of criticism. And there was a bit of play acting in the way he went down, you have to admit.
Look, Tom, you know, Tiernan McCann will put his hands up, and Mickey actually came on, Mickey done a press conference about it himself, and said that, you know, Tiernan is totally embarrassed about what happened, and he's sorry about what happened, and there's nothing he can do about it now. It's done, it's dusted, it's happened. And that, like, nobody in Tyrone was proud of what happened, Tom, but back to the positive side of Tiernan McCann. His display through the match, the energy that he showed, the creative way he played, was all, in my opinion, is what I remember him for. Yes, look, unfortunately, he couldn't be remembered for this stupid dive that he took. But, you know, he regrets it, Tom, and I'm sure the whole setup in Tyrone have regretted it. But there's nothing we can do about that now, Tom. And that's done and dusted. That's out there, and we can't change that.
One other incident that happened, and I was sitting up in the Hogan stand and had a great view of it because it happened just down from me, was the Conor Myler, is it Darren Hughes incident? And Conor getting a black card. From where I gathered, watching it, in my view was he had the ball, he played it away. Darren Hughes dived into him, he leaned into him to protect him, and he got the... I actually thought when the referee was going for his pocket that it was going to be Darren Hughes that got the black card.
Yeah, again, I thought the same, Tom. Again, from where I was looking, it didn't seem to me that young Myler, you know, it wasn't him that created the problem. He passed the ball, he was going on. There is a possibility that when you see it back on the screen, there is a possibility that he may have moved towards, but definitely Hughes moved towards him as well, and putting his arms around him, you know, that's an automatic reaction you do in to sort of save your body, whatever, you know. So it was, Tom, it wasn't necessarily to me, to me personally, I don't think it was a black card. And I believe that the Sky boys that were covering the match, I think the majority of them reckoned the same, and they were getting replays and seeing it, you know, replaying over. So they figured that it wasn't a black card. But It was a part of the game that it was a prominent part of the game that we were coming through, and Myler was just getting into it, and I was disappointed that he lost out because he's a good addition to the team, and he's very creative again, and he plays that role of sweeper and moving forward and bringing the ball forward, and I was disappointed that he was taken out. But unfortunately, you know, you can be critical of a lot of people. The referee, you know, was clear. There was a lot of criticism of the referee on Sunday as well, and I think he got that one wrong personally.
Personally, my criticism of the RTE coverage and the Sunday game on Sunday night isn't so much the criticism of the cynical play or the Tiernan McCann incident, which I felt maybe was a bit over the top, but that they actually ignored that one, and you know, they had the facilities to look back on it as well. And I can clearly say, I'd be surprised if Tyrone don't appeal that decision. I'm not sure. I don't know if you've heard anything on that front.
Well, I've heard nothing at the minute, Tom, but I can guarantee you they'll appeal that, Tom, because at the end of the day, there has to be a level playing field when it comes to stuff like this. And, like, you know, through the whole year, like, there's plenty of situations that happened. For instance, Cork Kerry match, there was an incident like that. The Down Derry match, there was an incident like that. And just because there was an uproar on the studios of RTE, you know, we just can't expect the GAA just to sort of react to that. And, you know, a knee-jerk reaction to something that silly, was very silly match. And, like, people kept saying about it, Tom, this had no bearing on the game, really, as an outcome for the game. It didn't really bear anything. And I see Mickey even questioned the fact that was your man sent off for that incident, or was it from an earlier one? You know, so there's a lot of stuff probably needs to be answered on it as well. Like,
Tato Egeister, Cleishan Clark, coming Luke Glasgale. That's the voice of John Lynch, a former Tyrone star and an All-Star as well, defender. And giving his thoughts on the game. We'll talk to John in a moment again about some of the positive aspects and Tyrone's great run to an All-Ireland semi-final. But first of all, Manus, in Boyle, you're still with us.
Yeah,
just in answer to my query, read the referee. An outfield player can stand in goals for a penalty, but he must wear a distinctive jersey, not conflicting with the colours of either team. That comes from a Donegal official, actually, Seamus McEnough, or Seamus is a former official. So that's a conflict of interest there, or a conflict view to yours. But just on the Tyrone, shall we say, incident and all the criticism and talk about cynical play and an 8-week ban for Tiernan McCann. What do you make of all that, Manus?
I think it's... listen, when Donegal were going well under Jim, we received a lot of criticism, and I had the one line, as long as, you know, you get your hands on the Sam Maguire at the end of it, it doesn't really matter, all is forgotten. I think there is a Ulster bias within the Dublin, within that whole setup. I don't think they like it coming outside the Dublin Kerry, you know, romantic idea that they're the only ones that play the gaff. But I think it's all blown out of proportion. I thought Tyrone were excellent. I thought Marty Duffy's handling of the game at times was more about Marty Duffy than it was about the game. He dished out maybe, I don't know, was it 10 or 12 yellow cards, black cards? And I mean, yes, young McCann probably, you know, he regrets what happened, but he's not the first to do it, and he certainly won't be the last. I mean, it's happened all down through the years where men have thrown themselves on the ground to get others sent off. So, listen, he's not the first.
Should he be suspended? Should he serve 8 weeks?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, it's, you know, where do you draw the line? Like, I mean, is it just because it was highlighted by a couple of TV pundits that the lad gets the book thrown at him? I don't think so, Tom. I think it's
now, what do you say to the argument where these people say, well, you have to have some sanction and you have to stamp it out because, you know, young fellas watching the game, children watching the game, young boys, young girls watching the game. You go down to the local park next week and you'll see fellas diving and one thing and another.
Well, you see, that's where the GAA need to have strong officialism and need to have a standard of refereeing that is consistent. And, Tom, that's not what happens. You know, if you look at the hurling referee on Sunday, he hardly blew his whistle 12 times in the first half. He let them get at the game because it's a manly game. What they've done is sanitised football in the last while just to make it really nicer to look at TV. And that's my opinion. I don't think anything should happen to the lad. He got his black card. I query if it is a black card because, you know, on the rule of the black card, diving isn't a part of it, or trying to get an opponent not sent off. It could be a straight red card.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought the handling of the game, I thought Tyrone were excellent. I thought Kavanagh was excellent. I thought McCrory was excellent. I thought Myler Onte got his black card. I mean, they've Mickey Hart has unearthed a whole new group of players, and that's a great credit to him, and it's a great credit to the young lads themselves that after a crushing defeat in Balfe, where they possibly could have taken it, you know, they regrouped, they got their act together, and maybe it asked the question, maybe should we went the back door route, like.
Anyway, back to the positives, John Lynch. Obviously, you're a very happy Tyrone man this week. All we've spoken about apart, certainly to be in another All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, Tom, as I say, when you get through all the negatives, like the positives that went on Sunday or Saturday afternoon were you know, there was loads of positives that came out of it. And Nancy's just touched on a lot of stuff there that the fact that Mickey has unearthed a couple of these lads, these younger lads, like he's pulled in quite a few of the lads from the under-21 squad. And I think that's actually sort of brought in a whole new lease of life to a lot of the older lads, a lot of like the likes of McCurry and McCluskey that have been like them lads, like they have been the sort of the new players up to this past 3 or 4 years. I think it seems to have settled them a wee, but they're now probably looking at themselves as being more like established in the setup and as making them play better, I think, and bringing these lads in, the likes of young Bradley, Myler, like them lads are all playing very well and they've walked like young Bradley walking the way he walks with Sean Kavanagh. He's helped Sean in the way he's playing. So it's all positive when it comes to all these lads coming in. So you know, the fact that we've come through all these so-called easy games, like Manus touched on it, and he's right, possibly Donegal maybe better for them to get beat in the first round because it would have given them a bit of a break. And the talk now of Donegal been so tired and this is the talk, and like I heard you earlier talking about retirements. You know, it turns over so quickly, Tom, that sometimes lads get caught up, you know, and things. Like, I wouldn't be too alarmed yet about Donegal. I know that there's loads of I'm getting away from Tyrone now, but yeah. I mean, when you look at Donegal, there's loads of great players there. Lads have a lot of eyes and legs. You know, you can recover, and you must remember something as well that Donegal is probably one of the best underage structures in Ireland. So, I wouldn't be concerned about Donegal yet if it was a Donegal man, you know. I'm concerned because I'm a Tyrone man.
Tell me, and we're running very short on time, in as few words as possible, can they beat Kerry?
Tom, I think we can beat Kerry, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you talk about Kerry. Kerry are the advocates of football. They're the greatest players of all time. They come in there, like you look at the bench, you look at the players, they have some of the greatest footballers that play the game right now. We are going in there, Tom, with a system, and a system works sometimes. And like, you know, it'll be very interesting, intriguing match. We will definitely put it up for them, and I wouldn't be surprised, Tom, if we can beat them.
And thank you, John, for joining us. Finally, Manus, in a few words as possible as well. What do you make of Mayo, and can they finally make the breakthrough and maybe beat the Dubs for a start?
Yeah, I was impressed with Mayo in the way they handled the Donegal game. In fairness. Usually they might go away on one and maybe try and go the last 10-15 minutes gung-ho, but they didn't. They held back. Maybe they were doing a bit of what Dublin done to Fermanagh. They were holding a wee bit back, you know, but I still think Dublin and Kerry are the two teams to beat. I'd also say about Tyrone and Kerry, the last team that Kerry want to play is Tyrone.
Anyway, we've just got one more text in there from Don in Raphoe. He thinks that the All-Ireland Championship should go to an open draw. Well, that's probably a topic we can return to at some stage. My thanks to Manus Boyle and to John Lynch who joined us tonight on our programme. And, well, of course, looking forward to a busy weekend again of club action here in Donegal. And, of course, it's Tyrone and Kerry in the first of the All-Ireland semi-finals on Sunday week in Croke Park. Derry will play Kerry in the All-Ireland minor semi-final as well. And, of course, we done it, the Donegal Senior Championship and Intermediate Championship get up and running next weekend. The players getting a break. That's about it from me for this week. Tom Cormack, we'll be back with you again next week, and we'll be looking forward in some depth to those championship games here in Donegal. And of course there's championship action in Derry this weekend as well. Their senior championship gets underway. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Saturday afternoon, but as I said, we're just coming up to the 9 o'clock news, and I want to thank Jimmy Stafford as usual for operating the sound here tonight and producing. But from me, Tom Cormack, until next week, Slán agus Beannacht.